This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we focus on the greatest professional fishermen in the world, the men that make up the Bassmaster Elite Series, and, well, those are looking to get into that exclusive group through the Bass Pro Shops Open Series, which is at Lake Chickamauga this weekend, and, of course, the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series as well, presented by Bass Pro Shops. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/bassradio or on Twitter at bass_nation and use the hashtag bassradio. You can also listen to all shows at bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the home button and click on Bassmaster Radio. Today in our Pro Profile segment, we're going Ike with Mike Iaconelli. And then Bassmaster TV and live host Davey Height will join us to discuss the upcoming Elite Series at Ross Barnett and our technique of the week, as many fish are on the transition now from the spawn to post-spawn, or depending on where you are in the country, maybe just moving in to the spawn. We'll talk about that as well. But first, let's get it started with the legend himself, Mike Iaconelli. Welcome to the show, Mike. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I am fantastic. Before we go any further, I got to ask you now, did you make your peace with Scrubby McScrubberson yet? I mean, we know he didn't make the highlight show, but anybody who was watching the Classic Live saw that little exchange and got a good chuckle out of it. But I want to know, are the Scrubby t-shirts coming out soon or what?
Definitely. You know, me and Scrubby kind of made amends a little bit, and he cut me a deal, and I'm giving him just a small licensing fee to use his likeness, name, and, of course, his catchphrase. But we made amends, and you will see the t-shirt, the hat, and the socks.
Nice.
Green Scrubby McScrubberson socks on the market here very shortly.
Fantastic. That is great. I got to say, too, one of the things, you know, you pick up some stuff on the highlight show that you don't necessarily see on live, and we knew that you had done some damage with a shaky head in there, but it was kind of cool to see you and some of the other guys, Carolina rigging, and I only say this because, you know, I'm about 10 years older than you are, and I love to throw that Carolina rig, and you wonder whether or not guys are doing much of that. It's always the latest and the newest thing, but, yeah, you did some damage with that Carolina rig. That was impressive.
Yeah, it's really one of those techniques that's had a resurgence, you know, in the last few years, especially for me. You know, it was one of those things I did in the 80s and early 90s. I did it all the time. You know, I kind of got away from it as these new techniques like drop shotting and Nico rigging and all these things developed. You kind of got away from it. But in the last 2 years, I've gotten back to it. You know, it's still a tried and true technique. It covers a tremendous amount of water, and it lets you finesse, but do it in a power fishing way. And that's what I love about it. You know, I had a nice top 10 finish at Lake Oneida on smallmouth with it last year. Of course, a great classic with it this year. And you know, I'm kind of keeping the train rolling. It's, you know, it never got bad. It just kind of went out of style. So it's on a rod on my boat almost every tournament now.
Do you have a preferred bait that you like to use with it? How often do you change up the bait? What do you like to use?
Yeah, I keep it pretty simple, and I think about forage and time of the year a lot, and I can tell you still, back in the 80s and 90s, even now, a 6-inch lizard is still a standby for me on that rig, and you can't get much more simple than that. You know, I use a 6-inch Berkeley Power Lizard to real basic colors, you know, green pumpkin, watermelon, some darker foods and darker water, and, you know, I adjust my leader length dependent on the water cloud and the cover. You know, that's a real big thing for me on that Carolina rig is leader length. Mm-hmm. And general rule of thumb, the dirtier the water, the heavier the cover, the shorter my leader. The clearer the water, the less cover, the longer the leader. And, you know, 1/2 ounce, 3/4 ounce VMC tungsten weight, and just drag it.
Yeah.
Real simple, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool to hear you say that, because me and a lot of other guys have that lizard on there all the time. And it seems like something that is, especially for smallmouth, is that kind of that French fry, that Ned rig type of a bait sometimes, that, you know, for smallmouth especially in those clear situations.
Yeah, you know, so when I get around smallmouth, I love to use sometimes a little bit smaller bait. You know, a lot of times what that thing's looking like to a smallmouth is a crawfish or a goby. And you know, I like to adjust my baits for that. You know, a small creature bait is out of this world. Like, you know, you mentioned a finesse worm or a French fry, out of this world. So, yeah, you know, adjust it a little bit. You know, when you're in Texas, when you're in Louisiana, when you're places that grow big fish, You can go with a bigger bait. When you get up around smallmouth, shrink down your bait a little bit, and you're going to get a lot of bites with that rig.
Yeah, Mike Iaconelli with us here in our Pro Profile segment of the show to kick things off today. And, Ike, the other thing that a lot of people noticed was that little retirement speech that you gave there. I mean, that was moving. Now, I'm just going to say, as I said, I'm 10 years older than you, and I'm going to say this. When you're in your 40s, it's a weird place to be because you feel a lot older than all those dudes that are in their 30s, and yet all of a sudden you'll get to your 50s, and you'll feel exactly the same as you did when you were in your 40s, and then you'll fish until you're in your 60s. But what was up with that, man?
Yeah, you know, that was one of those things that was kind of a half-truth, you know. It was teasing everybody a little bit, kind of sort of making a joke, and at the same time, it was sort of being true. You know, I honestly, at this point in my career, right now, I can't imagine retiring. You know, I'm so competitive. I want to win. I want to win again, you know, and that will keep me from retiring. But, you know, in the same breath, I definitely can look forward to the future. And nothing against these guys, but I don't want to be a Jimmy Houston and a Rick Klon, these guys that are still tournament fishing in their mid-60s, their late-60s. It's a grueling life. You understand. You know the sport.
Right.
For a lot of your listeners, a lot of people that watch it from afar, you know, it looks so easy. It looks so, you know, non-hard work. It just looks like fun. It's fishing. Mm-hmm. But it's grueling. The tournament world is grueling. The travel is grueling. You know, when you've got four kids at home and, you know, you miss a lot of stuff, I mean, you start to think about, you know, a way out of tournament fishing, not necessarily the sport of fishing,
right,
but tournament fishing. So there is a little foreshadowing there. And I think, you know, I do see the light at the end of the tunnel. I think there'll be a day when I'm ready to step away from the competition. And, you know, a lot of the other stuff we're working on, you know, the Bass University and the new TV show Going Ike and the web show Ike Live and all, you know, the Ike Foundation, all that stuff is, you know, being built for when I'm ready, you know, I can step away and still stay in the sport of fishing.
Yeah, I want to talk about the new show in a moment, too. But, yeah, that's a good point. And a lot of, you know, you started pretty young. Of course, now we've got this whole wave of guys coming right out of college that are real young. So it's kind of like NASCAR. I think the retirement age is going to drop down. It's not like guys work, you know, for 20 years in a field and then go fishing when they're in their 40s and fish until they're in their 60s. I think it's a whole different dynamic. Davey Height's coming up in a few minutes. And Davey, look at him. I mean, he's still in great shape and a relatively young guy. And he's made that transition out of the regular, you know, elite series, and I think he's loving it, man. He's getting paid to talk about fishing.
Yeah, definitely. Davey's a great example of, you know, he's been one of the heroes for me in my career, and I think he's a great model for exactly what I want to do. And you know, he felt the time was right to step away from competition. He's still remaining a part of the sport that he loves, still shaping the sport and influencing young people to get involved. And what a great place to be, you know. And I mean, you know, honestly, if you defer to other sports, it's something that athletes in other sports do all the time. You know, if you look at hockey or baseball or basketball or football, you know, you'll see guys that are still can compete, that are still physically able to compete, but they've had enough of that portion of their life.
Right.
You know, you got to remember, man, I think, again, for a lot of people, the view is so skewed, but it's hard work. And you know, it comes to a point in your life when you're ready to change and ready to transition. And there's a lot of other things in life that I want to enjoy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right. Well, one of them is Going Ike. In our last minute or so, tell us about Going Ike, where we can find it. A lot of us were big fans of City Limits Fishing. I know there's a little bit of that in there, and as much as this is an adventure type of show. But tell us about Going Ike, what's going on with that show, and where we can find it.
Yeah, Going Ike is, we're in our second season. And this is our first season on national TV, so it's a real exciting time for the show. It's on the Pursuit Channel, and it premieres every week Tuesday nights at 7:30. And the unique thing about the Pursuit Channel is, for some reason, you don't get on your cable provider, Dish Network. You know, Pursuit.com streams the show live. You can also get it through things like Amazon Fire Stick and Hulu, absolutely free. So we're excited to be on national TV, and it's a really cool platform. And, you know, for me, fishing is about the hunt, the chase. It's about the experiences going fishing and when you're done. And we try to embody a lot of that in the show. It's definitely not a traditional fishing show. You're going to see some traditional stuff. You're going to see some techniques and tips. But you're going to see a lot of other stuff. You're going to see a lot of fun, a lot of excitement, a lot of highs and lows, just like any normal day of fishing. And the great thing for me with that show that I can't do in tournament fishing and bass tournament fishing is I get to fish for other species.
Wow.
I get to fish freshwater and saltwater. I get the fish in crazy, way out of the way places, and I get the fish in big cities, everything in between. And I'm proud of it. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that I've been dreaming about doing for a lot of years, and finally now people are getting to take a look at it.
Also, check out MikeIconelli.com. It's one of the best fishing sites out there in terms of videos and a lot of information and links to all of what Ike is doing and all that good stuff as well. Ike, good luck at Ross Barnett. I appreciate you joining us today in our Pro Profile.
I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right, there you go, Mike Iaconelli. All right, when we return, Davey Height will join us. We'll preview Ross Barnett, and we'll also talk about the changing seasons next, right here on Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. The Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Elite is coming to Ridgeland, Mississippi. Come watch the world's best anglers weigh in their catch from the Ross Barnett Reservoir. Plus, you can meet your favorite Bassmaster Elite pros, explore the free outdoor expo and interactive displays, and more, including live music, arts and crafts, vendors and activities from the Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries and Parks. It'll be fun for the whole family. Be there April 27th through the 30th at Old Trace Park in Ridgeland, Mississippi. Details at Bassmaster.com.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament hosted by Tommy Sanders and Mark Zona. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer and Davey Height. Plus, special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Stream on Bassmaster.com or the Watch ESPN app at ESPN3. 7:30 to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time. Bassmaster Live. It's as close to being in the boat as you can get.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over 500,000 outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio, here on the SB Nation Radio Network. I want to thank Mike Iaconelli for kicking things off with us in our Pro Profile segment. We talked about Davey Height a little bit there as Ike kind of tiptoed around the issue of potential retirement coming up. And, well, who would know better than a Bassmaster champion, a guy that won a lot of money out there on the tour, who is now working with the Bassmaster TV show and, of course, Bassmaster Live and doing a tremendous job with that. The legendary Davey Height joins us. Davey, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much, Tom. I'm glad to be with you. Doing great. Doing great.
You know, a lot of people were kind of stunned a little bit when they heard Ike talking the R word. He's 44 years old, but, you know, he's been doing this now for a while. And, you know, just talk about the grind that it is for the guys out there on tour, because I don't think people understand exactly how much these guys go through when they're fishing, especially right now when we're in a stretch where it seems like there's a tournament every 2 weeks.
You're exactly right, Tom. It is a grind, and it amazes me that folks that haven't fished tournaments, multiple-day tournaments, don't realize what a grind it is. And when you hear Mike Iaconelli talk about retiring at 44, that sounds crazy, but look in other sports, and if you see a guy that's around at 44, he's nuts. You know, Tom Brady at 39, everybody's saying, he's Superman. How can he go on this long? And, you know, I know our sport is different than professional football or baseball, but it is similar to the other sports, whether you're talking about golf, and we've all seen Tiger Woods, thought he was going to be able to win every event or be in contention in every event for another 20 years. But competition is real at all levels. And when you do it at the highest level, it is a grind, because the best of the best are out there, and they want to beat you. And if you don't put a lot of work, a lot of preparation into it, then you're not going to be competitive. So after you've done it for 20 years, I'm going to say that's about how long Mike has been doing it. I know it was 24 years for me, and I'd been around a few years before he came on the scene. It's just a long time. It's truly a grind.
Yeah, and I made a NASCAR analogy, and you know, we're seeing guys like Carl Edwards and Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, all retiring now in their early 40s. In the case of Edwards at 37 years old, but these guys start when they're 20. So you know, it seems to be that's kind of a big part of it. I think in the future, you know, that's going to be the norm, right? It'd be the new normal, maybe, is that these guys will be getting out around, you know, in their 40s. That'll be 20, 25 years, you know, on the tour.
I think that's exactly right. You see guys starting younger than ever. When I started fishing full-time professionally, I was 27, and I was considered one of the younger guys
right. Starting
out, not just because it was my rookie year at 27, just because there's just not a lot of guys at that point in our sport that were fishing full-time professionally. And now you see a Jordan Lee, you know, I can just keep on naming Jesse Wiggins, Jacob Wheeler, just to name a few guys that are starting in their 20s and even before.
Yeah. You know, maybe this is the opening to have a senior tour. What do you think? How about 50 years old plus? We get all the old guys out there, one-day tournaments, live, you know, do it on Bassmaster Live. A senior tour, that would be a lot of fun, right?
I would vote for that. You know, Tom, I've been fishing more this year since I announced my quote-unquote retirement than I have in a long, long time. I've fished the last 3 days. I'm going to fish today. I've been posting a lot of pictures on my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram of big fish, and a lot of people have caught on. It's like I've kind of been rejuvenated. I'm going to fish until the day I die, hopefully, and I enjoy the sport. That's why when I was offered this opportunity to work with Bassmaster doing the live coverage and doing the television show, it was a couple years before I wanted to retire, if that's what you want to call it. I'd like to call it move on to something different, something that isn't as much of a grind as we talked about earlier. But, man, when this opportunity came along, I thought, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. The last person I know that they've hired was Mark Zona, and that was 13 years ago. So there's not a lot of room for new guys coming on. And I hate to even go there, but I've got to, because I try to describe it, but I don't want it to sound negative, but I just didn't want to be fishing the Bassmaster Tournament Trail at the highest level in that grind when I was in my 60s and maybe even 70 year old, like some guys. And you know, right. My hat's off to them. But it's just not something that I want to do.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of Zona Live, he just did that the show with KVD, which was outstanding. And you look at Kevin, he's 49, but it feels like a young 49. I mean, that might be the exception. I don't see him getting out of the boat anytime soon. You know, maybe slowing down at some point in time, but, you know, he's a young 49, it seems like.
He is, but Kevin's been grinding for a long time. I'll just leave it at that. I know Kevin really well, and he thinks a lot of his family and his family time.
Sure.
And I'll just leave it at that. He's been grinding for a long time also.
You know, I know you do the Bass Pros and do a tremendous job with that series as well. You know, Kevin is a part of that, and now Zona hosting that. It's been really fun. Is there a possibility that you might get in the boat with Mark and do a Zona Live? Because that would be a kind of a rip.
I would love to. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm going to fish until I'm 6 feet under. And I filmed a segment, Bass Pro Shops segment, just last week at Santee Cooper, and I had a blast. I did an in-depth segment and a five-minute segment, did a couple other things. I caught, I think, 5 or 6 fish over 5 pounds. So, you know, I was like a kid in a toy store. I mean, I really was. So I enjoyed doing that. And anyone knows that has been in the boat with Mark Zona, it is always fun to be in the boat with him, whether they're biting or not. So I've done a couple of his regular shows, his Zona Awesome Fishing Show, but I'd love to do a live segment with him.
So pull back the curtain for us a moment here. When you do a 5 minute fishing segment and the in the zone segment, how much recording goes into what ultimately ends up being about, you know, 8 to 10 minutes on the air altogether?
Well, it takes a long time, not because the fish weren't biting in this case, but the folks at Bass Pro Shops do such a good job. Anytime I've done shows for 20 years, I've been, you know, guest on people's shows and have loved every one of them. But the folks that really do good shows, they just too much content. There's no such thing as too much content. Like the Alan Jackson song, there's no such thing as too much fun or whoever sang it. I think it was Alan Jackson, but there's no such thing as too much content. And you think, geez, I've caught five fish over 5 pounds. This is a 11-minute segment. We got all this in-depth stuff with me talking about exactly how I'm fishing a mop jig and all this sort of stuff. But it took a full day, and I probably caught 20 bass to do that one segment. But I promise you, it will be very good and very interesting to watch.
Oh, it always is with Davey Hite. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Davey's going to give us an idea of what we're looking at on Ross Barnett as the Elite Series will head there. Haven't been there in a while. It's been quite a while since BASS has been over there, so we'll talk about Ross Barnett. Also, Technique of the Week and Old School Techniques. We opened that door a little bit with Ike talking about Carolina rigging, talking about that a little bit as well. It's all coming up right here on Bassmaster Radio on ESPN Nation Radio Network.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over half a million outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament, hosted by Tommy Sanders and Mark Zona. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer and Davey Hite. Plus, special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Stream on Bassmaster.com or the Watch ESPN app at ESPN3. 7:30 to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time. Bassmaster Live. It's as close to being in the boat as you can get.
The Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Elite is coming to Ridgeland, Mississippi. Come watch the world's best anglers weigh in their catch from the Ross Barnett Reservoir. Plus, you can meet your favorite Bassmaster Elite pros, explore the free outdoor expo and interactive displays, and more, including live music, arts and crafts, vendors and activities from the Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries and Parks. It'll be fun for the whole family. Be there April 27th through the 30th at Old Trace Park in Ridgeland, Mississippi. Details at Bassmaster.com.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham and Davey Hite, our guest, of course, from Bassmaster Live and the Bassmaster TV show. And Davey, let's get into a few things before we get to Ross Barnett. We saw some things going on, but we've seen them on the tour so far this year. We're seeing spinner baits. We're seeing shaky heads. We're seeing Carolina rigging. It's the 1980s and 90s all over again. Talk about a little bit about those techniques and how they can still be very deadly, even though we've kind of gotten away from all that in the past few years, and how those are still important techniques to have in your arsenal.
Well, Tom, as you know, all bass fishermen want to know the next thing, the next secret, the next new technique. But really this year, when you see an Edwin Evers catch him on a spinnerbait in the Classic, you see Jordan Lee catching him on a mop jig, you see guys just, and Mike Iaconelli, you just mentioned, he caught that giant bass while we had a live camera in his boat on a Carolina rig lizard. Some things just will never go away. It's just like good music. It will last for generations, and the Carolina rig is certainly one of them.
Do you think that the bass get conditioned? I mean, I know we don't use the the Alabama rig, for example, on the tour and so on, but certainly a lot of our listeners have used that, and it seems to have cooled down a little bit. Some crankbaits maybe. Do you think there are certain lures that the fish are more apt to be conditioned to, and then others, the Texas rig worm, the Carolina rig we just talked about, the jig, where it seems like it doesn't matter, they never figure it out?
Yeah, I do think so. I think the baits that make a lot of noise, that move a lot of water, those fish will get conditioned to not bite those baits. I was at Bienville Plantation about a month ago with Rapala doing a writer's convention, and there was a fisheries biologist from University of Florida that I really just was intrigued to hear him talk, because everything I heard him say that I knew something about, I totally agreed with, and obviously he knew some things that I didn't. But they did a did a survey a couple years ago and put two University of Florida students in a boat, and they fished 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon. So if you think I got a good job doing live coverage with Zona and Tommy Sanders, the next best thing would be a student at Florida and get to go fish for 6 hours a day. But seriously, these guys did this, and they were on a private lake, but it was a larger lake to be a private lake. And one threw a rattle trap type bait, a vibrating lipless bait, and the other one threw a Senko. And they would switch up every hour which angler threw which one, so the fisherman and his abilities did not factor into this. But the fishing gradually got tougher every single day on this private lake, and you could tell these fish were conditioned to not bite these baits as much after they'd been on the water for a few days. But he said there was no doubt, and they had done this survey a couple times, no doubt that the lipless vibrating bait, making all the noise, moving all the water, those fish started not biting it as well early on, and then gradually tapered off on the Senko. So I really think the more recognizable that bait is, and a bait that's not like a Senko or a Texas rig worm that's, let's say, stealth somewhat, those fish don't get conditioned to those baits as much as they do the baits that make a lot of noise and move a lot of water.
Well, and that takes us to technique as well. Davey Height with us when we talk technique of the week. And a lot of times guys will move off of a spot where they've caught fish thinking that, well, they've shut down or they moved. And really, I would think that it would make more sense to switch up the baits, go from a hair jig to a crankbait or, you know, whatever it is that you're a swim bait. Maybe before you get off of those fish, if you know the fish are there, you know, maybe you need to give them some different looks before you go ahead and say, okay, they're done on this spot.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Tom. I certainly would do that when I'm on an offshore place, or especially when I'm making one cast to a school fish where I know a school fish have been. Then before I leave, I'm going to throw multiple baits there, because I've caught, and I'm just making up numbers here, but in the ballpark, I've caught 5 or 6 fish off of a place offshore and throw there 15 to 20 more times, not a sniff, pick up a different bait, throw in there, and it's like a new school of fish is there. You just trigger them and catch 5 or 6 more. So I would definitely change the baits before I would move. The other thing, the only reason to move off of a place like that typically is the school of fish will follow out to the boat, follow away from where they're set up. Sometimes you do have to move or just wait a while for those fish to get back on the place that they're using for an ambush point to be able to get ready and feed again. But certainly before I would move, no matter what the situation, I'd try a different bait or two.
The open series is at Lake Chickamauga this week, and you know, throughout the Mid South and the areas like that, you know, we're in a different spot in terms of spawn now. We're in a lot of post spawn fish. There's still some fish that are on the spawn, of course, down south in Florida and those areas. Those fish have probably spawned out, and then up north, you know, they just had ice out not too long ago. So you know, it's a totally different deal. Talk a little bit about the pre-spawn, spawn, post-spawn, and how it might be different in different zones of the country, how fish maybe act differently, whether you're up north dealing with those fish on a pre-spawn versus a pre-spawn fish in the Mid-South and then down in the Deep-South.
Yeah, we always start our Bassmaster coverage in the South for obvious reasons. So you've been hearing a lot about how the fish are post-spawn, spawning, and a few more pre-spawn fish. I've been fortunate enough just in the last week, I've fished on Lake Gunnersville. I fished at Santee Cooper. Yesterday I was at Clark Hill. Today I'm going to Lake Greenwood, so the retirement life has been pretty fun for me. But at all those four places, and that's a pretty wide range, but still in the South, there are fish that are still spawning. There are fish that haven't spawned yet, but the majority of those fish are post-spawn. So you start changing tactics, those fish start moving off, start talking about the shad spawn, because typically those thread fin spawn later than a largemouth bass. But you just, the big key to being able to go and pattern fish anywhere throughout the country, you can't look at the calendar. You've got to basically look at the water temperature and the time of year and go on the history that you have and try to determine whether the majority of the fish on the lake are pre-spawn, spawning, or post-spawn. Until you figure out what stage the majority of those fish on any given body of water are in, you're going to have a tough time patterning those fish.
Now, the tour, as we said, goes to Ross Barnett Reservoir in Ridgeland, Mississippi, coming up for the Academy Sports and Outdoors Elite at Ross Barnett next weekend. Talk about what kind of a lake those guys are going to find. They've been fishing, you know, Toledo Bend, of course, Conroe, Sam Rayburn coming up, and now head over to Mississippi for Ross Barnett. What preview that for us a little bit?
Well, Ross Barnett, one of the places I mentioned I have been to just in the last week is Santee Cooper in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. A lot of shallow, flat areas, stumps, cypress trees, cypress knees, some shallow water vegetation, some pads. So I just would like to probably talk about Santee because I think it'll be very, very similar to what Ross Barnett. Mm-hmm. The majority of the fish there at Santee Cooper had spawned. I'm going to say 2/3 of them, maybe even 3/4, but at least 2/3 of the fish. There were some fish that were actually spawning and then a few pre-spawners. So depending on how you like to fish, which fish you want to target, which type of cover, but for me at Santee, it was the cypress trees and then some fish on vegetation. Because the fish on lakes like that, like Ross Barnett, like Santee Cooper, they relate to those cypress trees a majority or a whole lot of their lifetime, if not the majority of their lifetime. And they use them for pre-spawn and then post-spawn, the fry will gather around the cypress trees and they protect those. And then right after that, you have the bluegill that'll be up there spawning. So I think there'll be a lot of fish caught around cypress trees and maybe even some pads at Ross Barnett. And I caught all of my big fish last week on a buckeye mop jig. Mm. Caught a few on some soft plastic. Caught some numbers. The males really seemed to like the soft plastic better, but I was able to get those bigger females to bite the jig. But the D-shad, like we saw Brent Ayler using, weightless, I caught a lot of fish on that. Caught some on a Senko, a few different things. But I caught my bigger fish on that jig.
There you go. There's your preview for Ross Barnett and what these guys might be facing when they get there next week. Davey Hite has been our guest. We'll be watching him on Bassmaster Live Friday, Saturday, and Sunday next week as well. Davey, I appreciate you so much, as always, man.
Thank you very much, Tom. Love to do it anytime.
All right. Thank you, Davey Hite. By the way, your AOI standings right now, and I say early, it is early, but things are moving quickly. Ott Defoe is off to such a great start. He's sitting atop the AOI standings. Jason Williamson, Jason Christie, Andy Montgomery, James Elam making out your top five. Greg Hackney in that six hole. Jacob Wheeler, who got the win to start the season, right behind him. Jesse Wiggins out of Cullman, Alabama, is in that eight hole. Todd Faircloth, Jamie Hartman from up north round out the top 10. And our classic champion, Jordan Lee, is at 11th. And remember, the classic does not count towards the AOI. So that's not a points event, but still Jordan having a great season. All right, we're going to come back with our final segment next. We'll set you up with your fantasy team for Ross Barnett. Scott Morris will join me right here on Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. The Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Elite is coming to Ridgeland, Mississippi. Come watch the world's best anglers weigh in their catch from the Ross Barnett Reservoir. Plus, you can meet your favorite Bassmaster Elite pros, explore the free outdoor expo and interactive displays and more, including live music, arts and crafts, vendors and activities from the Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries and Parks. It'll be fun for the whole family. Be there April 27th through the 30th at Old Trace Park in Ridgeland, Mississippi. Details at Bassmaster.com. Are you looking for a great weekend tournament fishing experience? Well, visit AmericanBassAnglers.com for the latest on the nation's number one grassroots fishing tours. The ABA features several circuits, including the American Fishing Tour, one-day events close to home. The ABA also has the Open Series with 16 divisions around the country and a $5,000 guaranteed first place. For team tournaments, check out the 100% Plus Team Tour and even the Couples Tour. All events lead to the Ray Scott Championships as well. Learn more at AmericanBassAnglers.com.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over half a million outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament, hosted by Tommy Sanders and Mark Zona. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer and Davey Hite. Plus, special guest appearances from elite pros. Stream on Bassmaster.com or the Watch ESPN app at ESPN3. 7:30 to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time. Bassmaster Live. It's as close to being in the boat as you can get.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back in. Final segment of Bassmaster Radio today. Time to take a look at your fantasy team for the upcoming Bassmaster Elite at Ross Barnett. And this is a little bit tricky because the guys haven't been to Ross Barnett in a while, and there's a lot of similarities to what they were just doing at Toledo Bend in terms of the, you know, if the fish are on the spawn, pre-spawn, post-spawn, and so on. It's going to be a dingy water tournament probably. So joining me now is our fantasy fishing expert. I say that loosely because it's so hard. This thing sometimes can be very difficult. But joining me now to help set up a fantasy team is Scott Morris. Scott, welcome back. How are you?
Tom, I'm great. Yeah, you're exactly right. This one is going to be a little tricky.
Now, my overall percentile is 59.9%, just under 60%. I think is that good or bad? I think that's kind of good. I think 50 would be... Well, obviously 50 would be even, and I think being 60%, maybe I'm a little bit ahead of the, or am I a little bit behind? I might be a little bit ahead of the curve, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's better than 50. I think that's good.
Yeah, I think that's good. I may be reading the thing wrong. All right, let's take a look at these groups. In Group A, guys that are getting a lot of love, Ott Defoe, who is so hot right now out of Knoxville, Tennessee. He's getting about 26% of the vote. Number of guys, Jason Christie getting 17%. I'm going with Greg Hackney. He's getting 19.5%. I keep riding the Hack Attack, but I'm going to go with the Hack Attack here. He's got a top 12 finish so far this year, and I like him in this kind of water. What do you got?
Well, I think that was a great pick because that's who I was going to pick. But
you
because
pick
we're
him.
Competing against each other, my second choice in Group A would be Jason Christie.
You know, you can pick the same, as long as you don't pick all five the same. I mean, I don't know how, you know, and how we don't have the same in some of these, because in Group B, Kevin Van Dam, 23.9%. I have a hard time going against Kong here. Just in case, now depends on how this thing might end up going, but it's hard. Brent Erler, of course, is hot as well, and you can go that route. Mike Iaconelli, who was on the show earlier, I certainly could go with Ike here, but I'm going to go ahead and take KVD. What do you got?
That was a good choice. I'm going to go with Edwin Evers.
That would have been – Edwin was on my list, too. I mean, he is a very, very solid choice, 13% going with Edwin Evers on that in Group B. All right, Bucket C, let's take a look here. Randall Tharp is just crushing this with 34%. Steve Kennedy, interesting that Steve Kennedy's getting 16.4% there. I'm not sure if this is necessarily his kind of tournament. I'm going with Jay Powell. I'm going Poroznik here out of Port Haywood, Virginia. I'm going to go with him. He's getting 14.3% of the vote, and he's got mine.
Well, I think that's a great choice. I'm going to go with Randall Tharp.
Tharp is an outstanding pick as well. He is, as I say, getting over 34% of the vote at this point in time. All right, in Group D, this one is a real interesting group of guys as well. Bradley Roy is getting 9.6%. Matt Herron is getting about 12.5%. Skeet Reese is getting 17% of the vote here. Stephen Browning, 9%. I'm going Cajun Baby. I'm going Cliff Crochet. I just want to hear him on the stage talking, so I'm going to go with him along with 16% of the other people.
That's a great choice. Well, you know, I'm not sure, if that shallow bite's going to be on or not. So I've got a pretty good mix here, but I'm going to take a chance and say, hey, you know, those fish may be on the ledges, so I'm going to go with Timmy Horton.
Timmy is excellent pick there, and that's a guy I considered strongly. It'd be interesting. Of course, he had the win at Okeechobee, and it's been a little bit quiet since then. It'd be very interesting to see how Timmy does down there. All right, and finally, in Group E, Bucket E, if you will, man, I'll tell you, there's a lot of good-looking names on this one here. Justin Lucas out of Gunnersville is getting 32%. Takamori, a Texas guy, now 10% of the vote. But I'm going with the Biffle Bug. I think that Tommy Biffle is going to figure him out of Oklahoma, 13.1%, and my vote as well.
That Biffle's a great choice. I think there might be a frog bite going on, so I'm going to go with Fred Robanus.
Ooh, Fred Robanus, good pick there. It'd be interesting to see what the total weight is. I went 74 pounds and change here, but it's going to be very interesting. Again, this is a lake the guys haven't fished. It's a dingy water lake. It's To be honest with you, it might be kind of similar. You and I are fishing a tournament this weekend. As a lot of people are listening to this, we're fishing a tournament on Old Hickory Lake in Tennessee. And, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of how it could be like that a little.
Exactly. And, you know, another lake that's got a lot of dingy water in it right now is Lake Chickamauga. And I know BASS has an event there this weekend.
Yeah, the open.
You know, it just Ross Barnett is notorious for murkier water, but you know you can have a good week of warm, dry weather, and then all of a sudden you can throw that out the window. So we'll see. This one's a difficult one to choose, Tom, but that's what's cool about fantasy fishing, is it gets you to think a little bit.
It does get you to think a little bit, there's no question about it. And it'll be very interesting to see how it goes at Ross Barnett. All right, before I let you go, just got about less than a minute, but Davey Height and I were just talking about some of the old school techniques that are been resurgent this year. Spinner baits, Carolina rigging, shaky heads. I mean, you know, some of that stuff just never goes away.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what, man, the Carolina rig is really coming on strong. You know me, we throw Carolina rig all the time, right? So it's really not a new thing for us, but it's a slower technique. But thing about Carolina rig, Tom, is it's a high pressure technique. When the lake gets a lot of pressure, that Carolina rig is phenomenal. If you don't know how to fish, you just get out on YouTube and do some searches on Carolina rigging, and you can find all about it. On YouTube.
Yeah, it's great technique. All right, Scott, appreciate you as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, thanks, Tom.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Bassmaster Radio on ESPN Nation Radio Network. Until next time, make sure you keep those lines tight and those nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham. This has been Bassmaster Radio on ESPN Nation Radio Network.